You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Some days you may feel as if no one cares for you nor understands your problems. Don't despair. The Bible powerfully proclaims that God has come to help His people.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Almighty and everlasting God, because of our idolatrous dependence on modern technology, we turn a blind eye and deaf ear to thy love and compassion. In so doing, we lay open wide our body and soul to the tortuous attacks of Satan. By the power of thy Holy Spirit, use the story of the widow of Nain to assure our hearts that thou art ready at all times to bear our burdens, to remove our fears, and to calm our troubled hearts. Give unto everyone listening today a repentant heart and a spirit-led desire to turn their eyes upon Jesus. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. During the rush hour in a Brooklyn subway, a 65-year-old laundry owner suffered a severe heart attack. Even though he coughed, slumped forward, and began to turn blue, the train conductor continued his route uninterrupted. Passengers near the dying man tried to convince the conductor to stop the train with no success. 13 stops and over 1/2 hour later, the victim, Mr. Chong, was pronounced dead. This bizarre incident so disturbed the other passengers that a full-scale investigation was ordered by the local chief of police. Even those individuals with indifferent and calloused hearts were angry that no compassion had been shown to the helpless and dying man. This incident is neither unique nor isolated. The cold, cruel, and downright beastly indifference of people can be observed publicly and read about in newspapers almost every day and in every part of the world. Lest we begin pointing the finger of accusation, let us always remember that because of our corrupt and rebellious nature, we are all capable of such acts. The tragedy of Cambodia, where half the population of an entire country has been annihilated, is a horrible example of man's evil nature and potential for atrocities on a scale unknown even among the most fierce, bloodthirsty, and vicious jungle beasts. One can hardly imagine what it must have been like for Jesus, the divine and sinless Son of God, to be born into a world darkened by human disobedience and the condemnation of sin. Instead of being a guilty sinner, he was completely righteous. Instead of being cold, cruel, calloused, and indifferent, he was kind, loving, and compassionate. Instead of always expecting to be honored and served, the Savior came to serve. If one could imagine the most loving, kind, and compassionate man who ever lived, even the most hardened critics would have to agree it was Jesus Christ. When Jesus saw the people in trouble and in need, he did not hesitate, nor did he look the other way as you and I are so often tempted to do. His immediate impulse was to help them. Jesus freely identified with the worst of sinners. His ministry of love and compassion was never dictated by what his critics said. A vivid example of the loving compassion of the beautiful Savior is recorded in the Bible. Listen closely and let your heart be encouraged as I read directly from the 7th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. Jesus said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." The Holy Scriptures record that this news spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. To all who observed the Savior during his earthly ministry, including even the most hardened unbelievers and the most cynical skeptics, Jesus was no ordinary man. He was someone very special. Many who observed our Lord secretly thought what Nicodemus confessed openly to the Savior in his night visit. "Rabbi," Nicodemus said, "we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." Oh, how blessed were the hearts of those believers who simply and without question followed Jesus. They rejoiced as they understood by faith that before their very eyes they were witnessing the fulfillment of the prophet Isaiah, who powerfully proclaimed concerning the coming Savior. "He poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Can you imagine? Jesus had love and compassion, not only for individuals like the widow of Nain, but even for those who nailed him to the cross. The public demonstration of the Savior's gracious healing ministry was only the beginning. The irrefutable witness to his unconditional compassion and love was climaxed in his innocent, bloody, and cruel death on the cross. Not only was Jesus willing to help the less fortunate, he also voluntarily and without complaining gave up even his own life for the salvation of all people, including you and me. Surely the Savior's words reflect his selfless love. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Newspaper accounts record stories of individuals who have given their lives to save others. They've thrown themselves in front of cars, jumped into icy waters, and have entered burning buildings. In each case, these individuals, nobly and sacrificially, gave their lives so that others might live. When Jesus died on the cross, his death accomplished infinitely more. He gave his life so that others may not only enjoy this life, which is brief and temporary, but also that all who trust and believe in him might live in heaven eternally forever and ever. Several months ago, the media carried the dramatic story of a father of five who had placed an ad in his local newspaper offering to sell one of the organs of his own body. The unemployed war veteran, out of desperation, was willing to sell a part of himself to feed and clothe his starving family. His public demonstration was a moving experience to all who read the account. Such human sacrifice is certainly hard to find. How much more should the historical account of the sinless and innocent crucifixion of Jesus Christ move all who hear of it to repentance and faith? Jesus not only gave up an organ or one member of his body, he gave up his entire life. The Holy Scriptures declare that he did this in order to destroy the barrier of sin, the dividing wall of hostility between us and our God. May your sin-troubled heart now be encouraged as I read directly from the Bible. For he himself, Jesus, is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, through Jesus, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. The crimson blood of Jesus Christ, which dripped from the cross of Calvary, has the power to wash the most vile sinners clean. It has the power to remove the condemnation of sin, which bars the unrepentant from the mansions of heaven. The blood of Jesus Christ has the divine stain-removing power to wipe away even the most terrible sins of your past life, even secret sins which only you know and ones which you would never tell anyone else about. As you listen today, let me with great joy proclaim to you, all of your past sins have been completely forgiven. Just as Jesus asked no questions of the widow of Nain before he compassionately and lovingly raised her son from the dead, so also Jesus, this very moment, has compassion on you. Listen to this. Jesus will ask you no questions to qualify. He will not interrogate you as to what type of person you have been. Jesus accepts you as you are. The Savior is not asking you to make compensatory payment for your sins. He has already paid the price. He has loved you with such a deep, perfect, and powerful love that he paid the penalty for the sin that you should have paid. Jesus Christ died the death you should have died. And now the sin-atoning merits of Jesus, earned through his sacrificial death, are available to all people regardless of their race or economic background. The merits of Jesus Christ, earned through his perfect life, his innocent suffering and death, and his triumphant resurrection, are available to you with no strings attached. They become yours when you trust in the saving power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Believe in Jesus. By his wounds, you are healed. Follow no one else. Trust no other philosophy. Ask God by the power of the Holy Spirit to enable you to believe. And rejoice and be glad that the Savior has not only redeemed you, but that he will strengthen you and give you the power to live a life of victory over temptation and sin. Take comfort that as you live by faith in the grace of God, Jesus is constantly interceding for you at the throne of the Father. Each time the devil tricks you into sin, rest your heart and conscience in the intercessory power of the Savior. Not long ago, a listener wrote, "I often get depressed when my fears get the upper hand. My battles have caused my faith to dim so many times. During the pain and despondency, I feel I am facing each day alone and as if life were hopeless." Perhaps as you listen today, you are also troubled. You may have concerns in your personal life. You may be burdened by the concerns of your family. You may be the victim of a family ripped apart by the tragedy of divorce. You may be wondering how you will pay all of your bills. Even your best friends may appear to be untrue, cold, and indifferent. The uncertainty of change and decay which all around you see may be more than even your most serious optimism can overcome. But no matter how confusing and despairing life may seem today at this moment, don't give up. Take encouragement from the divinely recorded story of the widow of Nain. As soon as Jesus met the widow and the mourners following the coffin, he was immediately moved to compassion. Like many of us so frequently do, Jesus could have offered the woman passing words of consolation and then continued on with his busy schedule. Out of love, he chose to do otherwise. Jesus immediately made the widow's concerns his very own. This same Jesus has the same feelings of love for you today that he had for the bereaved widow. In the midst of your worries, your doubts, your concerns, or even your despair, turn your eyes upon Jesus. God will graciously help you, and that right early. By faith, just think it over carefully. Will not He who made the supreme sacrifice surely give you everything necessary to strengthen your faith, to still your conscience, and to calm your troubled heart? Just as Jesus gave life to the dead man and enabled him to sit up in the coffin and begin to speak, so also the Savior daily creates faith in unbelieving hearts and strengthens those weakened by the clever tricks of Satan. A political prisoner in a Central African Republic wrote on the grim, blood-stained wall of his tiny cell, "Only God can help us now." Even though you are not a political prisoner, because of your problems, you may share his feelings. Rejoice. God not only can, but earnestly desires to help you. This very moment, He knows and understands your situation in complete detail. Turn to the Lord with a repentant heart and a simple desire to trust Him in all things. May God the Holy Spirit enable you to say with a hymn writer, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. When every earthly prop gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." Jesus changes people. Witness a sobbing and mourning crowd that slowly followed the bereaved widow of Nain. The small band of despairing humanity moved haltingly ahead, out of the city gate, and slowly down the road. What an emotionally moving scene this must have been. No doubt, mixed together with the sobs and expression of sympathy, were the unorchestrated and mournful notes of hired flutes, plus the melancholy tinkle of cymbals, so typical of funeral processions of that day. Surely, many of those present reflected in their own minds that just as they were following the coffin of the young man, so also, someday, their lifeless body would also be followed down the same road for the same reason. Perhaps even you have heard how at funerals, people frequently visualize what their own funeral will be like. As the funeral procession moved on, all of a sudden, unannounced, and in the midst of confusing despair, death and life confronted each other head on. Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the life," publicly manifested the truth of his teaching as he raised the body which had been made lifeless by the curse of sin. As soon as the author of life spoke, the lifeless body sat up and began to speak. The band of dreary onlookers was transformed. They were ecstatic. They exclaimed with joy, "God has come to help his people." And yet in the midst of all the commotion and emotion, there is a distinct reason for sadness. The people said, "A great prophet has risen among us." How sad to realize, just as many people do today, these individuals accepted Jesus for what he did, but not for who he claimed to be. Jesus claimed to be more than just another prophet. He publicly proclaimed himself to be God, manifested in the flesh. Jesus said, "I and the Father are one. He who has seen me has seen the Father." And so today, may I plead with you to trust and believe in Jesus. Trust in him, not as just another prophet, but as God himself. If you were condemned to death because of a crime, perhaps your best friend could die in your place, so that you could live the rest of your life on earth, even though, eventually, you would still have to die. Jesus did more. He was not just a man or a great prophet. He died so that you can live eternally forever and ever in the mansions of heaven. Let the beautiful words of Jesus, recorded in the Gospel of John, speak comforting words to your heart today. Jesus said, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." God grant this to each of you today. Amen.